Our New Testament lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, and it can be found on page 175 in the Pew Bible. If I speak in tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we not only have the words of what love is or should be, but we have the example of Jesus living out that love. Lord, may we be an example to others of what it means to love as Christ loved. Lord, I pray that our hearts and our minds would be open to receive your word this morning. And I pray that the words that I am about to speak are yours and yours alone. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. What does power mean to you? When you think of power, do you think of strength? Do you think of force? Do you think of control or authority? We may think of the power of a human being and how strong they are. We may think of the force of something such as the wind and the damage that it can do. We may think of someone who has control. Maybe control over their emotions to not overreact in a hurtful situation. We may think of authority, of someone who is in an authoritative position, maybe the head of a company who controls what that company does, what they represent. People love power. Men, or mostly men, I would say, love vehicles with lots of power. How many of you men love vehicles with power? A few of you. Women, or I would say mostly women, love cleaners that have power to make your cleaning job much easier. I know for me, I love a cleaner that you can spray on the shower and the bathtub and just wipe it down and it's clean and you don't have to stand there and scrub and scrub. But what do you think is the most powerful thing on earth? Do you think it's force? Do you think it's the military? Do you think it's political clout? Do you think it's influence? Do you think it's money? Position? Let me tell you a story of a great theologian by the name of Niels Faire. Have any of you ever heard of Niels Faire? He was a child prodigy in Sweden And at the age of 13, it was decided to send him to the United States to study because of his brilliance. He said he will never forget that day that he left Sweden. The family had gathered around him and prayed for him. There were 8 children in the family, and each of them took a turn praying for Nels. Then they all walked him to the train station to say their goodbyes. His dad gave him fatherly advice. His mother hugged him and held on tight, and no words would come as the tears were flowing. He got on that train at the age of 13 by himself. He waved goodbye to his family. He said the tears started to flow from his eyes, and so he looked at the floor of the train. As the train slowly began to pull away, he looked up and saw his mother running beside the train saying, "Put the window down, Nels." And so he quickly opened the window to her shouting, "Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus." Nels Fair's mom knew the most powerful thing in the world. The strongest thing in the world is living in the faith of Jesus Christ, of knowing him as your personal Savior, and allowing God's Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. That Jesus Christ is more powerful than money, more powerful than position, more powerful than Satan. It's the most powerful thing in the world because of who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Everything and everyone here on earth will come and go, but God will always be. So when we remember Jesus, we are reminded of that power of love and how it is that we live in this challenging world that we are a part of. Jesus showed us that hope is better than despair. Jesus is our hope. He is the hope of the world. He is our hope for light and life. The opposite of hope is despair. Despair means darkness and death. And as we look at the world around us, we see where people are living in despair. So much despair that they find the need to take the lives of others. But Jesus is our hope. Jesus is the hope that keeps us going while despair takes the wind out of our sails. Jesus is the hope that gives us the energy to get through the times that we feel like we can't take another step. Jesus is our hope that helps us to get out of bed in the morning when what we want to do is just crawl under the covers and put them over our heads. There is power in the hope that Jesus Christ has for us. Hope, more powerful than despair. Jesus also showed us that forgiveness is more powerful than vengeance. Vengeance can devastate our souls. Forgiveness sets us free. An example of this is a story that I read about two pastors in New York City. One by the name of Paul Scheer and the other by the name of Harry Emerson Fosdick. They lived in the same community, much as we live in the same community with the Baptist Church, the Church of the Alliance Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Lutheran Church, churches that are here in Tyrone. Reverend Fosdick wrote a letter and sent it out to his colleagues about a social issue in their community. However, Reverend Scheer strongly disagreed with him. And so he wrote a nasty letter back to Reverend Fosdick. And he confronted him publicly. And he personally attacked him. After that, he felt like he could have no contact whatsoever with Dr. Fosdick. He felt like he could never speak to him again, that they would never be able to work together for their community. Several months later, Reverend Scheer signed up to go to a conference. He settled in his seat, and he was sitting up front, and he was sitting along the aisle. And as he got comfortable, he opened up his program to find out that the guest speaker was Dr. Fosdick. He was like, "I can't stay here. I need to leave." But just as he went to get up from his seat, the processional had come down the aisle, and the clergy were standing in the aisle as the choir was leading in singing. Dr. Fosdick found himself standing right beside Reverend Scheer. Just then, an amazing thing happened. Dr. Fosdick reached over, never spoke a word, but placed his hand on Reverend Shear's shoulder and just gave it a little squeeze. With that small gesture, he was letting Reverend Scheer know that there was forgiveness. After the conference, those two reconciled, and they not only became colleagues who could work together in their community, but they became the best of friends for the rest of their lives. The power of forgiveness is amazing. When we hold on to vengeance, it actually hurts us more than it hurts anyone else. It actually makes us suffer. But when we are able to give forgiveness, we are set free. We free ourselves of anger, of judgments, of resentments, of bitterness, and we're able to live our lives with joy and peace, sharing the love of Jesus Christ. Also, when we fail to forgive, we hold on to the past and we live in that past and we're not able to move forward in our faith walk with Jesus Christ. So forgiveness is much more powerful than vengeance. Love. Love is the most powerful. And it is more powerful than hostility. We see so much hostility in the world we are living in right now. Those who are taking the lives of innocent people because of hatred and hostility that they have in their hearts. For many, we may never know the reason that they do that, because often they take their own lives as well. But I'd like us to look at something we can probably relate to a little easier. Do any of you know an atheist? Yes? No? If you don't know an atheist, maybe you're probably familiar with the name Madeleine O'Hare. At least the older generation may be. Those like Rachel and Annie probably aren't familiar with that name. But she is the atheist who had prayer removed from our skulls. She used her son to be able to do that. He has a fascinating story, if you've never read it, and talks about how his mother abused him and used him to have prayer removed from the skull. He has since grown up and has become a Christian. But atheists tend to be hostile towards Christians, don't they? I have a really hard time understanding that. Because they state they do not believe in God, and yet they tend to be belligerent, they tend to be hostile to those who do. If they truly believe that God doesn't exist, why would they care if someone else believes that he does? Why wouldn't they simply just shake their heads and walk away and say, those people don't know what they're talking about, even though we do. But they feel a threat for some reason by those who believe in God our Creator. Throughout history, we can see in God's Word, as well through history books, of those who were persecuted by those who did not believe in God or in Jesus. And we are told in the Gospel of Matthew, I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. The sun rises on the evil and the good, and the rain, God sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. See, Christ's love is so great for the world that he died for friend and foe alike. He didn't pick and choose that he would only love a few or love a certain number of people. He died for the world. And the power of God's love makes all the difference in how we live our lives. So may we remember and be empowered by the love of Jesus Christ, that his love is shown to everyone by the things that we say and the things that we do. May our words and our actions lead others to the one who loves them, to the one who gave his life for them, to the one who is amazing love, Christ Jesus. Today, in your bulletin, you will find a postcard. As I ask the children to give a lollipop to someone and tell them that Jesus loves them, I am asking you to invite one person to church with you. Now, I know that the door hangers didn't go over so well, so I'm going to ask you to pray about this and be bold. There's a place on here for you to write your phone number and to put your name. We may not be able to bring the whole world to the knowledge of the love of Jesus Christ, but we can bring one person at a time. We can love them enough to invite them in to hear the good news, to show them how it is that he has changed our life. We will be making additional copies of these, so if you would like to invite more than one person, I encourage you to do so, but I am asking you to invite one person this week. You know what? God can do great and mighty things through us when we reach out in his love. So let's see who it is that is here next week because you cared enough to invite them. Let God empower you with the strength that you need to step outside of your comfort zone. And maybe speak the words, Jesus loves you. And I would like to invite you to come and hear about him and his love. And let us remember, as the card says, no two of us are alike. And so we aren't expecting people to come in and be just like us. We have to meet people where they are. It's not for us to transform them. It's only for us to introduce them to the one who can transform them. Be courageous this week. Invite someone to join you next week as we come together to worship the one who is love. Amen.